You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Has your childlike hope and wonder been hit over the head with a shovel and buried in the backyard? Has the daily grind put your dreams out of their misery, Old Yeller style? Or shoo those feelings away at the store? We have what you want. We know what you need. Unicorns. Pink unicorns. Blue unicorns. Pink and blue unicorns. From whimsical dancers to rainbow prancers. Come on down to 34th and Main. Meet a magical friend today. Unicorns are mythological fantasy creatures. Your friendship experience may vary. If impaled by a unicorn, please consult a physician.
Love it. Love it. Well, your viewing experience may vary. That's for damn sure. God.
So I'm Bradley Martin, and I have here my friend and colleague.
Frank Colvio.
And we just watched The Unicorn Store.
Oh, yeah. Did we ever. Oh, yeah. Brie Larson's directorial debut.
Directorial debut, because she's already hit the peak of Mount acting, so might as well direct.
I mean, guys, you won an Oscar for a really, really harrowing film, and then you star in a huge-ass Marvel film. Yeah, I mean, I can't think of any other, you know, territory left to go.
Well, but,
quirky-ass fuck indie.
Now, she's the second Avenger to direct, I believe only the second. How do you think she compares to Chris Evans' effort?
Which one was Chris Evans' movie again?
I don't know. I tried, but I couldn't finish it. It was.
I can't remember it. You know, it escaped me that he actually tried this.
I'm not sure if it was someone who was falling in love with New York, or if he directed that film about the super smart kid who's, you know, like, but I don't want to be super smart, I just want to be a kid.
Oh, no, he didn't, he played the father in that one. I don't know if he directed that one, did he?
I really should have done my homework on that.
Yeah, me too.
It was fine. You know, I'm not trying to bash another movie, but anyways. Back to the unicorn story. You want
to
give the plot of this
synopsis?
Movie?
The plot synopsis? Oh, yeah. I can't wait. So Brie Larson plays Kit. I don't know her last name. It's not important. She is one of these millennials who pursued a degree in art. And the film opens with her displaying what she feels is like her masterwork, even though she hasn't really done anything else. I guess it's a final exam exhibit, and she bombs it. Her professor, just gives her a bad grade, and she falls into a funk, moves back home to with her parents, played by Bradley Whitford and Joan Cusack, and who run this like sort of like touchy-feely youth camp. And she tries to decide what to do with her life, and she takes this temp job at a PR firm, which is the most like boring-like PR firm in the world. I don't even know how they market anything. And one night, she receives this invitation to go to the store, which is this sort of underground organization, it's the only way I can describe it, that's run by Samuel L. Jackson, whose costumes alone are just like so distracting, you don't even listen to anything he really says. But what he does say is that she is going to be able to get a unicorn. For what reason? I don't even know why she's going to get a unicorn. Do you remember that? Do you remember why?
Well, I think that's where the themes of the film, if you don't...
Oh, right. Yeah, she can get a unicorn, something she's always wanted. If she can prove that she is a, you know, a capable enough person to have one. She's sure. If she's worthy enough to have one, I guess is the gist.
Yeah, and right. What that means or doesn't mean may vary, I suppose.
Yeah. It depends on her, depends on one's own life experience. I mean, yeah. So she sets out to go ahead and prove to Samuel L. Jackson that she is mature, capable, loving, you know, worthy of everything that a unicorn deserves in an owner.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice synopsis.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Along the way, she meets a cast of quirky characters, not quite as quirky as her, because she's the, and this is what I found pretty good about the film, it proposes, what if a manic pixie dream girl actually goes out and gets a job? And
I thought you were going to say gets a taste of her own medicine, but, yeah.
Well, this is the first time I've seen the manic pixie dream girl trope actually have a job. I think Natalie Portman had a job in Garden State. Don't quote me on that. It's been too long since I've seen it, but it's...
Well, I've stayed away from that movie just because it was so popular. It became so popular and then became a cliche, so I never got around to watching it. I missed that window and now I'm afraid I couldn't like it for what it is. I mean, for what virtues it does have. But, she might be the original. I know that the term was coined by Nathan Rabin for Kirsten Dunst's character in that horrible Cameron Crowe movie, Elizabeth Town.
Yeah,
yeah. She actually did have a job, but
she did.
Yeah, she's a flight attendant. But yeah, it's
scary as. Look in that.
Yeah, I would not want to be on that flight if someone was that attentive. But yeah, it's a manic pixie dream girl here in Kid. But she is sort of like surrounded by, I think it is like a taste of her own medicine, that character is her own medicine in a lot of ways, by everyone she's forced to endure after her dreams like get crushed.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I do like that. It's really fun to see a character who has her head in the clouds also experience heartbreak and loss at the coming of age part, you know? And usually what comes next, that's in a lot of films part three, you know, or act three, where they get on their bike and hold their arms out and go down a big hill and are like, "Woo, everything's going to be okay." But the film
that
actually...
That like pissed me. That movie always pisses me off. And I was like, "You can't do that. I can't do that. I do not have the coordination to do that. Nobody can really do that." God. Anyways. I think it's... The movie flows very much in that spirit. Like, it doesn't really have a specific blueprint. It veers off in different directions. And it's not that it's impossible to predict, but it's just so much of it is up in the air. I guess, you know, like her and her journey. I think that's one of the things I really respect about, like,
absolutely.
At least the architecture of the film, at least.
Yeah, because Kit, though, can have some annoying behaviors. They're so endearing because of how Brie Larson carries herself as this character.
I mean, she can do no wrong, really. Brie Larson, the character is not the most well-written character. There are times when I'm like, okay, is she supposed to be the normal one in this equation, or is she supposed to be the weird one? Depending on whatever scene she's in, depending on who she's in the scene with. Like the scene where she's getting ready to go for her first day to work, for me, is one of the weaker scenes in the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, she's trying to be very, very professional and grown up, and it almost borders on parody. But then when she's meets the head of the company, or the VP of the company, played by Hamish Linklater, he is so weird and off-putting and offbeat in a very hilarious way.
Yes.
But and she's all of a sudden turned to the straight man, and it's that was sort of jarring for me, the fact that, is this someone... who's very. Is she a weirdo, or is she like the straight guy? You know, in here, and you know, it was going back and forth with the character a little bit was a. It was distracting for me sometimes.
Well, it seems that Kit is socially awkward, but not in the extreme ways. Like, she doesn't carry a violin case, you know, to keep her paperwork in or anything. You know, like the usual manic pixie dream girl. Or she doesn't, like, carry around a magic wand and is all like, dreams can happen or anything like that. Until she does, you know, and it's...
That's true, yeah.
But I think the performances are all actually very good in terms of, yeah, like, I really like, personally, awkward comedy that doesn't...
Oh, God, I love it.
That doesn't quite push it into, like, okay, I'm starting to feel kind of gross here. But yeah. I think that's where her direction is best with the cast. Like you said, Hamish Linklater, he has maybe one or two jokes, but they're both very cringe, but they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And but you almost funny. Like,
you can almost, like, he's the kind of guy that you can just see himself giving himself a pep talk in the morning before he leaves for work.
Yeah, exactly.
And it being the most tone-deaf pep talk there is. I think the movie's greatest strength is the characters and the performances by the actors. You know, and that's not surprising because, you know, actors usually make for really good directors in terms of characterization or in terms of performance. They can get the most out of their cast. That being said, though, there's something about this film that's so... it's almost like she was too eager to get behind the camera because there's like a... an enthusiasm that's so hard to rein in. You know, like, the film feels like too jumpy, too eager to get to the next scene, too eager to play this moment, and...
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, and it's like, oh, hold on, and you know, let's talk about this for a minute, and it kind of makes it for a weaker film because there are some scenes that she doesn't know that are so tonally like out there that she doesn't know how to do with them, so she just shoots them.
Yeah, and, I agree.
Yeah,
like there's a lot of ideas here. And some of the ideas don't really play out. Like, she's going to work for a temp agency to show that she's, you know, staying positive, staying true to being a productive member of society, and also not letting that joyful spirit that the kid has fall into a deep funk of no return. And it's like, hey, that's a great idea, you know? Nobody wants to live on a couch. Good for Kit for doing that. But then the movie's like, no, temp agencies are bad. And I'm like, well, which message are you trying to give me here? And go out and get a job if you're depressed, or temp agencies are bad. You gotta make up your mind, film. And the film kind of is like, no, because making up your mind destroys art.
it's almost as if she's like... It's almost as if the character is almost like stubbornly going to be a grown up. Like, okay, fine, yeah, I'm going to go pay my bills. Okay, fine, and it's going to suck. And here's me doing it. See? Oh wow, look, I'm doing this. I'm being grown up now. Isn't it? You know, it's just, it's a little condescending toward being actually, you know, being a grown up. I can see why I heard that she shot this movie a long time ago, a couple of years ago, I think. And it just sat on a shelf because she couldn't find anyone to distribute it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, until finally Netflix like picked it up, and because they pick up every other movie that's made.
I'm sure.
And put it out there. But I can see why this is a tough sell. And I told somebody recently that I was going to watch it, and they'd seen it already the night before. They're like, and I was like, oh, what'd you think of it? And they just like. And they were at such a loss for words, and all they could say was, let me know what you think.
Yeah.
And, you know, that sounds like this movie is so unclassifiable, and because it's unclassifiable, you know, so there's so much of it that works and so much of it that doesn't. But,
yeah.
I don't know.
I hear it. Just to put the staple on your point, when I watch movies and my sister watches the same movie, my sister has a mind that's like, okay, this is what I want out of you movie. And for my sister, she would want Brie Larson playing Kit and Mamadou Atti, who plays Virgil. I could see my sister being like, okay, this is what I want. I want the whole movie to be about will they or won't they, their relationship with each other, their journey together. That's what I want.
Yeah, I get that those sort of instincts too when I'm watching. It's mainly because I'm so as an audience member, you're so taken by what works.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. And their chemistry together is so fun. And
yeah, he plays the hardware store employee who she recruits, doesn't she, to build the
unicorn stable? Yeah.
Yeah, in the parents' backyard. It's like parents, by the way, are so. I love Joan Cusack and Bradley Whitford. I mean, they're pros, and I love what they do with their characters because they are. I mean, they get to have fun being goofy. And then you turn it around, and when they're given moments of great earnestness to play, they sell it. They make it work. You believe them when they have their sort of grounded scenes with her later on.
It's watching masterclass thespians have fun together, and that's something I enjoy watching as well. So seeing her interact with the people she cares about, great. It's great. But then when she goes off to work and is like, I need to do a presentation as a temp.
Oh, my God.
I don't care. Yeah, I'm not sure if I care about that. Kit not understanding, and maybe this was just too naive for me, but her not understanding sexual harassment was, I don't know if it was like, I don't believe this, or... Because I've seen people have to put up with crap like that in the workplace in my life, so I wasn't like, well, she's not wrong, but it seems like that's too naive. I'm not sure how to feel about it. Well, okay, I'll stop interrupting you. What do you got to say about that?
Well, I mean, I feel that, the Hamish Linklater character is just so awkward enough that I didn't really see it as harassment. I really saw him as someone who's just so inept at interacting with people that...
Yes, that's a possibility.
He really believed that she was what he wanted and who he wanted to be in a certain sense. But, also talking about that presentation scene, we gotta forget, like, she's so bad.
Yeah.
She's such a bad artist. I mean, it's no wonder she kind of... It's like, you're not good. It's like, no wonder they said that you couldn't make it and showed you the door. The irony of it is that the piece that she actually presents at the beginning of the film is actually quite, I don't know, I thought it was quite fun. And I think in the real world, it's meant to look like a really cool, fun art piece, but in the movie's world, it's meant to look like a piece of shit.
Right.
But the presentation she does make is a piece of shit, and I don't know if it's meant to be a joke or if it's the movie.
Serious,
yeah. Well, she's serious, but it's also the movie laughing at her.
Yeah.
And I was like, when she shows up in that goddamn tassel outfit, that it's just going to be a shit show. And I don't know, this movie's weird in a lot of ways.
It's very strange.
But I don't know, it's worth checking out, strangely enough. Like, I can't forget it, and there are parts that I really enjoyed and I really dug, but it didn't tell me anything I didn't already know. Maybe that's because I'm already 37 and I went to that stage.
Same. We're too old. We've outgrown the desire to even care about unicorns.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, that's what you're going to ask? Really? That's what you want? A unicorn? Yeah. I was like, you're too old to want that, Brie Larson. Come on.
Well, there's something she says during her presentation, like, you guys are trying to sell sex, and I'm just trying to sell happiness. And they're all kind of like turned off by that. But me, again, I'm also an old man. Not saying you're an old man, but
I'm 37, so yeah. I mean, and I'm gay. So in those two worlds, I'm just a senior citizen.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, so
But yeah, just that phrase, sell happiness. I thought, right? Yeah, that's exactly what marketing is. Everybody, if you haven't, go read I believe it's called The Happiness Industry. It's
there you go.
Fascinating book about that. But then the screenwriter, I had her name here around here somewhere. Anyways, they didn't think that, like, they didn't do their homework on that's exactly what marketing is. So everyone she said that to is like cringing, like, ew. But I'm the old nerd that's like, no, she's right, though. That is what you guys are trying to do. Anyways.
Yeah. But it's also just, that whole scene, even. I think it's probably the movie's worst scene because it just bludgeons you with the point of these two worlds and which one if you're growing up you have to belong to this one even though you really want to belong to that one and it was pushed and pulled.
can you be a whimsical positive force without making a big freaking mess? Like, is that just not possible? Oh, boy.
I know.
Let's dive into our final thoughts.
You know, I mean, this is not the worst directorial debut. I'd be curious to see her direct something that she's not in somewhere down the road. Yeah. I think that she'll need to rein it in and not just get so overexcited and hopped up on sugar before she goes behind the camera, because there's a speed to this movie that really doesn't need to be there. And I hate to say it, because I always feel it's like a lack of confidence in the director in terms of their own ability and how much they believe in themselves, that they feel the need to rush through scenes before. Like, oh my god, they're going to discover I'm a hack and I don't know what I'm doing, so I better hurry up and, you know, just print this take and move on, you know, sort of thing. But, you know, there's enough about this film in terms of the directing that makes me want to see what she's going to do next. Acting-wise, everyone brings it, especially her. There are times where she does, almost like the direction, she doesn't know whether to make the character weird or more like an observer that's growing with everything she observes. But, you know, again, she's Brie Larson. You know, Brie Larson's a good actress. So, she is, for all intents and purposes, good here, as is everybody else. And this movie does have some charming, have a charming quality to it. And some of the jokes, you know, really do land. And it's also got some nice visual touches as well. And, you know, we haven't really mentioned him, but Samuel L. Jackson is actually, even though it's just basically him delivering the same speech, you know, paraphrased each time, you know, he's fun to watch in this. You know, and I love because Samuel L. Jackson is really fun to watch play dress up. You know, this guy is always game to like play some sort of, like put on whatever they throw at him and just go in front of the camera, and he does that here, you know, as good as ever. A film with like this sort of tone, this specific comedic tone is. It's tough to pull off, and this one had a bumpy execution. Don't know if I'll ever watch it again, but it's not a total waste of time, to be honest with you. Not bad. Overall, I gotta give this about 7 out of 10. Guys named Virgil that, you know, get sent every bad customer that nobody wants to deal with.
Very nice. Very
there
nice.
You go. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to echo pretty much what you said. It's like the film kind of prepares you for what's happening with the very beginning when she does her art piece, and then the three judges are like, ew, we hate it. the guy she got to play the head judge, her professor, the face he makes is perfect. And it's awkward because she's standing right there in front of her piece and she's proud of it. And he's like, bleh, his face says that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the film because I'm kind of looking at the piece she made and I'm like, oh, that's fun. That's a fun piece.
Yeah.
And then the reaction.
She's actually part of her piece too, isn't she, in a way? She's yeah. set up.
I'm not
I don't
sure
know if it's accidental or if it's, you know, just look cool visually as a shot, but yeah.
Right. I'm no like aficionado in the art world, but I had no idea why it was you know, like the way he was yeah. making that. And that's kind of like this movie. It's not like up to the caliber of amazingness that for some reason Brie Larson is put to standard with, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like the whole freaking from social media to talk shows are like, you can only be amazing now. So
yeah.
that's got to be stressful.
But yeah, totally.
yeah, just moving into it. You know, as a director, I still have a lot to watch and learn about what a director does. I know that they have the actors, you know, do their thing and inspire the mood of the piece. But I'd say I enjoyed it. You know, the cast completely Twilight sparkles. But in mm-hmm. terms of a great actor to a great director, that still will remain a rarity. So I give this 6 bright, flashy pieces of flair on 10 denim jackets.
Oh, perfect. Nice.
yeah, she looked like she'd be Employee of the Year in this one jacket. If she worked at that restaurant from Office Space with all the flair requirements.
Tchotchkes or whatever.
Yeah, that's where she should have worked. she would have been, like, on her way to upper management if she got a job there.
Yeah, but she'd probably find somebody weird. She's just like a weirdness magnet. yeah. No matter where she goes. Anyway. We love you, Brie Larson. We do love you.